Hi, my name is Jeff. In this episode, I explain what is Kundalini, how I triggered its rising, its dangers, why it rises, and my experiences, and hopefully offer some helpful guidance if anyone is considering this pathway. The term Kundalini is derived from Sanskrit and means coiled snake. When this energy is awakened, it is said to ascend through the seven chakras, which are energy centers along the spine, leading to all sorts of spiritual experiences and a heightened sense of consciousness. This energy, according to various spiritual traditions, particularly in Hinduism and some forms of yoga, is believed to be the primal dormant energy that lays coiled at the base of the spine. This is the fundamental life force or power that underlies our physical existence. It could be considered the raw elemental energy from which all things arise. Practices such as yoga, meditation, breathing exercises, chanting mantras, and certain forms of energy work are believed to help and awaken the Kundalini energy. The awakening is described as a deeply transformative experience, leading to a sense of unity, expanded awareness, and a spiritual awakening. However, the process of awakening can be intense and challenging, both physically and emotionally, with an intensely transformative and multidimensional experience impacting every aspect of an individual's being, the physical, emotional, mental, and energy bodies. It can bring to the surface deep-seated emotions, physical sensations, and changes in consciousness. I, personally, went through a cleansing process of these bodies for some years before the Kundalini arose. I did not know what was happening at the time, but now, over 40 years after the event, I entirely understand the process. The body could be called by way of explanation a copper wire. During our lifetime, we experience both negative and positive events, which attach to this wire, which makes our personalities. If we do not cleanse the copper wire of the attached corrosion, when the Kundalini strikes, it meets resistance, which can be very disruptive to varying degrees, depending on the purity of the individual. Another way of expressing this is, the higher the vibration we attain, the better the experience. The lower the vibration, the experience can be of a negative nature. This is different for everyone. To say this is a powerful experience is an understatement. Physically, individuals can experience sensations of energy moving through their body, such as tingling, heat, or pressure. Emotionally, the awakening of Kundalini can bring forth a wide range of feelings, from bliss and euphoria to fear and anxiety, as it involves the release and processing of stored emotional energy. Mentally, it can lead to shifts in perception, increased intuition, and expanded awareness. On the negative mental aspects, besides the fear and anxiety, there are many other events that can arise, ranging from minor to severe problems. A quick word on taking drugs to induce a spiritual experience such as this. There are no shortcuts on the spiritual path. It is extremely dangerous physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. You can never trust a drug-induced event. Please do the internal and external spiritual work. Raise your vibration, and you will definitely have experiences which you know are real, which will lead you further on your path. I once met a man who was on his spiritual path. He told me of a powerful spiritual event that happened to him one night. An angel appeared in his room. Unfortunately for him, he said he had been taking drugs, and ever since he has never been sure whether the event was real or not. If and when this arising takes place in you, I would give a bit of advice. Do not fight it. Just observe the process. By fighting, you make resistance, and believe me, you will not defeat the process once it has started. When this happened to me in that motel room at 1 a.m. in the morning, I was completely exhausted from a long day of driving. Initially, I was hit by fear, but I quickly realized I had no hope of fighting the building energy, and I completely surrendered to the process. It is often recommended to be undertaken under the guidance of an experienced teacher or guru. When you first start this process, it is good to have a teacher to teach you the physical practices that you want to partake in. However, the energy will rise only at the appropriate time it is meant to. You are being guided and helped by your unseen helpers at all times. A physical teacher or guru can do little at this time when the energy rises within you. An analogy of Kundalini is when lightning is formed and goes from the cloud to the earth. The polarity of the Earth, which is positive energy, builds in strength as it travels on the Earth beneath the cloud, which has a negative energy polarity. When this energy builds and pulls the negative energy from the cloud down to the Earth, this creates the lightning. It is the same thing for the rising Kundalini, except in reverse polarity. As the positive energy builds in the head, due to intense devotional spiritual practice, it awakens the sleeping dormant energy at the base of the spine, and it begins to stir. When the attraction becomes so strong, it races up the spine and merges in the head, which is always an extremely dramatic event. I will now explain how my Kundalini was triggered. I won't go into the fine details of my experiences here. Those have already been explained in 5 podcasts called My Spiritual Journey. The second podcast in the series, The Dark Night of the Soul, is when my Kundalini first began to stir. And the third is called Rebirthing and Kundalini Experiences, when it did finally erupt. For those who have not listened to these podcasts, I will place a link to my hosting website at the end of this episode. My life had reached such a point of despair, I decided to lock myself away in my room and perform a 6-month spiritual ritual called the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage. I was to read only spiritual books, not leave my property, perform no physical work, and follow the instructions of the ritual. Why was this so important? It was the isolation. By withdrawing from the outside world, my ego, or lower self energy, had nowhere to go except inwards. When we live a normal life, we send out energy and receive it constantly. By doing my prayers, reading, and other spiritual directions, I use this energy to pierce the veil of the third eye by turning this energy inward, which activated my third eye. This is why some prisoners in jail find God and have a spiritual awakening. By being in jail, all their outside attractions are cut off and they go inwards automatically. As time passed, the intensity of my spiritual practice increased, and so did the power in my head. As this power builds, it pulled on the opposite energy, which was dormant, and awakened it from its inactive state. The power in the head is depicted in some spiritual texts as drawings of spiritual people with a yellow spiritual glow around their heads. As this process intensifies, all sorts of spiritual experiences can happen. I was being guided and helped all the way, but I still had to do the work. Following are some pointers which may help those on or contemplating this path. Focus is right up there as being one of the most important things you should master. Most spiritual practice say to focus when the mind wanders and mundane, uncontrolled thoughts arise. Just gently refocus. Energy follows thought in every aspect of our lives. By refocusing brings the energy back to your practice. When I started practicing Wicca, I was taught this powerful method. When doing ceremonial magic rituals, I would channel every emotion I was feeling into the task at hand. Then, when I did the 6-month ritual explained in the Dark Night of the Soul episode, I channeled the energy of fear, desperation, my ultimate desire to know the truth, and anything else I was feeling. These energies reached tremendous levels within me. I grabbed this energy and focused it and pounded it into my third eye. The more my conditioned self fought me, the more I used that energy like a laser beam, until it pierced the veil of the third eye, which began its activation. I fully realise my path is not one which is usually used, and the majority of people would not pick this path. I had a massive incentive to succeed. My earthly existence was on the line, and my desire for answers was a huge motivation. However, the tools I used are the same for everyone. The next is preparation. Before beginning your practice, there are a few things to do to prepare yourself. Don't just sit down after a hard day's work and start. Splash some cold water on your face and wash your hands. Light a small candle and incense if you desire. Say a small prayer asking your guides for protection and guidance. This can be spoken out loud or silently in your mind. These are just suggestions. You may have other things which are just as meaningful. Doing these preparations are a ritual that will make your practice easier over time. You will reach a point where you notice your consciousness will begin to shift into a meditative state as soon as you begin preparing for your practice. This means that you have trained your subconscious mind to recognize the repeating ritual and start to shift into your practice automatically. The third is one of the most important: how to finish with gratitude. When you have finished, just sit quietly for a couple of minutes and let the feeling of calmness wash through you. Then thank your guides for helping and watching over you. Say it from the heart with as much feeling as possible. This can also be said silently or out loud. I actually touch my forehead to the floor. This last part is the devotional aspect. If you are new at this, it will feel strange and even uncomfortable. You can just sit with your head bowed. The devotion will come and intensify over time as you become familiar with the process. Just go with the flow and allow your subjective spiritual teachers and other unseen helpers to direct the process as it unfolds, and enjoy the ride of your life. I nearly forgot one other crucial thing. Keep a journal. Write down everything you feel spiritually. If you are already keeping a journal of your life, start a new one, only for your spiritual journey. This is important. It separates the physical from the spiritual. Now we come to some signs that your Kundalini is awakening. Individuals may experience unusual sensations of energy moving within their body, such as tingling, pulsations, or waves of warmth, particularly along the spine or at the base of the spine. Next, we come to spontaneous movements. These are uncontrolled movements or spontaneous yoga-like postures, known as kriyas. These can occur as Kundalini energy begins to rise. These movements can range from subtle twitches to more pronounced shaking or jerking of the body, or any other movement. It all depends on the Kundalini itself. In my own personal experience, my body took a kriya yoga posture that released a massive amount of negative energy, which I had inherited from my mother. This energy was from her orgasm when I was conceived. This is explained in the rebirthing experience of the third episode of my spiritual journey. People might also feel intense emotional experiences, including feelings of bliss, ecstasy, love, or profound peace, as well as periods of heightened sensitivity, emotional vulnerability, or mood swings, and much, much more. You may also notice an increased sense of awareness, clarity, or intuition, as well as enhanced sensory perceptions, vivid dreams, or altered states of consciousness. Various physical symptoms will accompany the waking process, such as headaches, pressure in the head and all along the spine, fatigue, changes in appetite, disruptions in sleep patterns, and nausea. Early in the awakening, you may experience a slight feeling of sexual arousal during meditation or spiritual practice. You may also feel movement in the genital area. This is difficult to explain. In my case, it felt like worms crawling around inside of me. These last two are very powerful indicators, and not too much has been written about them. Kundalini awakening can lead to profound spiritual experiences as well, such as mystical visions, encounters with guides, spiritual beings, or a deep sense of connection to the divine and universal consciousness. It also causes an inner transformation and begins to purify the energy centers and the nervous system. Individuals may undergo profound inner transformations, leading to shifts in beliefs, values, priorities, and life's purpose. Everyone is different, and we all have different experiences, depending on how many lifetimes you have been on your spiritual path. The following are my experiences: dreams of Kundalini in the form of lightning, instant manifesting, spiritual sickness. This spiritual sickness usually always accompanies a spiritual awakening experience of a strong nature, typically a pounding headache with extreme nausea. This can go on for days. Extreme heightened creativity, massive increase in sexuality, third eye activation, direct communication, clear audience, spontaneous energy releases, which at times affected others, feelings of universal connectedness with everything and everybody, a massive influx of spiritual knowledge, finding my subjective unseen spiritual group for the first time, inner vibrating, hearing a humming noise in my head. This humming can change from a constant hum or oscillating hum, and global awareness. In my other episode, Rebirthing and Kundalini Experiences, I explained that I was told my Kundalini would rise a second time. I have been directed towards preparing myself for this for over 2 years now. I have recently had two energetic events, which proved to me that I am on the right path. The first was to do with my partner. She awoke one morning and said she had a dream of me. I was on my hands and knees hovering over her body, not touching her, and energy was passing from me to her. At the time, I remember thinking it would be interesting to see what this energy does to her. It is now about 3 months later, and I have noticed three distinct areas of cleansing that are taking place within her. I have not, and will not discuss what I see happening to her. The energy is for her, and has a specific purpose. I cannot, and will not interfere. For me, it was a huge sign that I'm on the right path again. The second event was to do with a person I know casually, but not close on a personal level. We were talking and something came up in conversation, and I told him about the supernatural event that happened to me in mid-October 2023. As I was telling him, I had a very minor energy release. At the same time, he said he felt a tingling sensation go through his body. This is another sign I'm on the right path. These are signposts on the journey, and everyone will have them. Would I suggest people attempt to raise their Kundalini? Absolutely I would. Nothing happens by chance. If you are listening to this podcast, you have been led to this. You are either curious and searching for information for your spiritual journey, or further on the path and taking direct action. You had the choice with what you do with this information. If I had to explain simply what Kundalini does, it is like taking a huge evolutionary leap. It's like jumping from preschool to university in 1 year. Another way of explaining it is like jumping 1,000 lifetimes of spiritual practice in one lifetime. Will there be pain? Yes. Will you be the same person? Absolutely not. You won't be. You'll be a much better version of yourself. This is such a small price to pay for the benefits you will attain. I wish I could convey all the feelings I have experienced due to the Kundalini, but this is impossible to explain in words. A quick word about relationships and Kundalini. If you are in a relationship when your Kundalini begins to rise, good luck. You're going to need plenty of it. However, it is not impossible for it to survive the process. Undoubtedly, you will change, and this will throw the dynamics of the relationship out the window. A lot will depend on how much you are both spiritually orientated. Not only will you change, but so will your partner. Your energy will bring up deep-seated issues in them as well. Your relationship has just hit overdrive in personal development. You'll be making decisions about your life, which to others looking on will think you've gone mad. Unfortunately, you will also seem to be extremely selfish because everything seems to be about you, and to be truthful, it is. The energy is making changes within you, and people close to you are caught in its crossfire. Even though it may seem selfish, eventually the benefit is absolutely huge to everybody around you, even though they may not know it. Remember, nothing happens by chance. All these people around you, when this happens, they are meant to be there. They asked to be there for this event. They also have lessons they have to learn. You and everyone near to you have all been through this many times before in previous lives. It will all play out as it is meant to be. As for the relationship with your partner, communication is everything. You will look at your partner with different eyes, and they will look at you with different eyes, because you are both rapidly changing. It will be extremely disruptive, but it can survive. Give the energy time to do what is meant to do. This subject deserves an episode of its own. I've only just scratched the surface with this short explanation. This wraps up another episode. As long as you don't try to take shortcuts and stick to your spiritual practice, everything should be fine. Just don't become impatient. If you have any questions or need further clarification, please don't hesitate to reach out. I'm here to assist in any way I can. Your listenership is valuable, and I am deeply grateful for it. Until next time, take care and stay curious.